Blow me up, Tom. Blow me up, Dad. Do you know who Tom Likas is?
Come on, man.
Do you?
We're about to shoot. Don't ask me about Tom Likas.
Wait, you know who he is?
Come on, Ben. I'm trying to get in the zone, dude.
Wait, do you or don't you? I can't tell.
I really do need my space right now.
Fuck. Fuck. Well, I was saying blow me up. Tom Likas.
What? Who is it?
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I thought maybe you did, and you were like, eh. He was a Tom Likas. He is a talk radio guy, but he had one of the biggest shows in Los Angeles. His whole thing was
truly a face for radio.
Oh yeah, his whole thing was teaching guys how to get laid. And,
oh my god!
Oh man!
No fucking way!
It was wild to listen to. He was very much kind of like a Howard Sterny type of Los Angeles. But whenever people would call in, first of all, they called him Dad. They called him Father. And
ew, dude.
His thing was if a woman that you're dating doesn't have sex with you after the third date, he would say DTB. Do you know what DTB stands for?
Down to buck.
Dump that bitch.
Jesus Christ.
Is what he would say. And when people would call in and it was like, you know, they were about to say goodbye, they would say, blow me up, Tom, and then he would press the sound effect of an explosion.
You listen to this guy.
I would listen to just all day what was on. I mean, sometimes you listen to people you don't like or necessarily agree with. It doesn't mean it's not entertaining. Right. It was entertaining. This guy was
Is he dead?
He's not dead. But
so this guy would tell people how to get laid.
Yes, and I think he was married and divorced like 6 times.
Oh, that checks out.
Yeah. I mean, there were certain things. He's actually, I know it's surprising.
What was his like? How do you get laid? But according to him,
oh my god!
Like negging.
I think one of the things was, if you have a friend who is wealthy, ask them for
money,
a receipt from their ATM.
Dude.
So it has the balance written on it, and then write your phone number on the back of that if you're going to give it to someone so that you can fool them into thinking that you are wealthier than you actually are. He also said, this is really dated, but he's like, you should never spend more than $40 on a date. It was like, I mean, he didn't advocate for like being disrespectful or violent anything. It was just kind of don't waste your time and don't waste anybody else's time.
I would say lying to someone about how much money you have
pretty bad.
Disrespectful.
Yeah. Wait, can we play any clips of him? Because there's got to be like video of...
Find one where he's talking about getting laid.
Yeah, Tom Likas. That was like the intro. He would always start with... let me see if I can remember. He would always start... Each episode.
Oh, Jesus. I don't even... Aging women? That one's going
to
be...
Oh, yeah. Tom Likas, do not marry women. We should listen to the...
Ben, I have...
Hold on. Wait.
I have a feeling he probably was disrespectful.
Apple shares were just getting hammered this morning.
Every day they're pounding it.
Wait.
I'm not fucking leaving.
Oh, he would. Oh, yeah. Wait, go back. There's one that said, Tom, he highlights the amount of subscribers. Wait. Okay. Hi, Glenn. We got to get the disclaimer out of the way. Go ahead and check out the disclaimer in the description box. Press see more or whatever. Tom Likas tells a woman she's past
Dude,
her expiration date.
Oh, my
date.
God.
We gotta. This guy was. But he had a side to him. He did a Sunday show. All about wine.
Ben liked this guy.
Well, wait. He did this Sunday show all about wine where he spoke in a soft voice. He would then talk about, I love a nice Merlot. I love a Cabernet. I like a Pinot sometimes. I have a steak with it. But then you hear it juxtaposed with this. Let's play this clip of him.
My value of what I am worth is not worth.
So you're a prostitute?
Really? But you might not like it, though.
Taking a shower thinking about me, huh?
Hey, dude, this guy sucks.
Well, it's not good.
Oh.
See, the thing is, I think you are the world's greatest BSer I have ever heard on radio.
Really? How so?
Well, because, you know, I've come to the conclusion about you must hate really women, period.
No, I don't.
For you to give advice to men, you know, take them out on a date for $40 and get laid.
Yeah, well, how much should we spend?
Well, my value of what I am worth is not worth.
So you're a prostitute?
No, not at all.
Well, you see, your time is not worth no more than my time, dear.
So then why be with the woman? So why don't you just...
Again, your time is worth... The fact that your time is worth no more than my time doesn't mean I want to be with a man. It means if I'm paying for your time, you should equally be paying for mine.
What does that mean?
True.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
Okay. I get it. He's horrible.
He was on from, I think, 3 p.m. until like 7 p.m. And
4 hours of that shit?
It was... But it wasn't just that shit. I mean... Some of the people that would call in would ask him, like, what do I do about this? It was just...
What do I do about what? Finish that.
I don't even know. I don't remember. It was like 10 years ago.
Hey, but this woman I hate. What do I do about it?
It was like Jerry Springer, the radio show, basically. Except for, obviously, Jerry Springer wasn't like this.
Yeah, Jerry Springer somehow took the moral high ground of, like, he seemed to be some kind of neutral party.
Yeah.
He's like, these guys are crazy.
Yeah. Tom Likas was also very anti having children and, you know, get a prenup kind of thing.
Oh,
it's just,
what a surprise.
He was like a men's rights guy before men's rights guys.
A pioneer, if you will.
A pioneer of the men's rights movement.
But I feel like men's rights guys were always, men's rights guys were just guys.
Yeah.
Up until...
Yo, look at the YouTube channel that this is on, Uncle Red Pill. That tells you everything you need to know.
Look at this fucking guy.
Tom Likas. Wait. So
this explains a lot.
The intro to his show.
Because you used to listen to this guy.
He had this thing. Oh, my God. It is worth listening to. Can you just Google Tom Likas intro? Because he had this, like... He said, this is the show that is not hosted by a right-wing wacko or a convicted felon. No, I am your host.
What?
It takes me back to being a delivery boy, age 18, just driving around Los Angeles, smoking weed.
Tom Likas is on.
It was just such trash. It was like entertaining, just like, I had nowhere to go, nothing to do. I didn't have Twitter.
Tom has to say.
Let's see what, who's talking about what. There was a person who confessed to murder on that show, and I listened, and she ended up getting arrested.
No fucking way.
Yes. She confessed to having killed her husband. And while she was, they kept her on. They kept cutting to commercial and cutting back. And he was like, sweetheart, I got bad news for you. We've got the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department on the other. And it made headlines.
No way.
Yeah. She like just confessed to it.
Why?
Because, you know, sometimes people be murdering and confessing to it.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, then he used to brag about how much money he made. Like, I've got 8 figures in my bank account, and I've got a house up in Mendocino County. And he's just an enigma. Just too, anyway.
Damn, this guy has so much money.
I mean, so he said. And it is interesting.
He could be using his friend's receipt.
He could be using his friend's checking account receipt. So everybody should follow
Tom Likas.
No. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, please. God damn it, we're at 31,000 subs. Just as a friendly reminder, we're gonna have a big smooch when we hit 50. So you gotta get that happening, and it's still a long ways to go to get to that semi-nude penis-only calendar at 100,000.
Also, good time to remind everyone: you're gonna want to sign up for TMGstudios.tv, either the Trillionaire Mindset tier or the TMG Studios tier. Because
and why is that?
We got some fun stuff coming.
We got a special guest today.
Yeah.
Should we I mean, oops, sorry. Ben. Should we say who it is?
Sure.
Yeah. We've got Glenn. We're going to have Glenn on in the bonus episode today, guys. So Glennheads out there are probably freaking out, losing their fucking minds.
You think the Glennheads are just going absolutely
crazy? Oh, the Glennheads are going bananas. They got their Glenn hats on, their shirts, their commemorative watches. They are ready, and so are we. So you're going to sub to the newsletter as well. I don't know how you do that. I think you do it at tmgstudios.tv as well. But, oh, you sub to our highlights channel, too. God damn, we just got to chill. We just had to get the business out of the way.
This episode's just going to be things you have to do.
Yeah.
We gotta
check your mail.
Yeah.
You know, postal workers, we really got to hand it to them. We salute all the postal. I wonder if we have a single postal worker in the audience.
No, those are Tom Likas fans, man.
Yeah, they are. They totally are. I wonder if they're allowed to listen to the radio or like...
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe they've got to keep their wits about them for whatever reason.
I'm sure everyone is using AirPods.
I'm surprised you don't see more postal cars that have been retired that like young...
They're all down in Florida.
Hipsters use. They are?
No. That's where people go to retire.
That's true. That's
bad
true.
Joke.
Yeah.
You think hipsters are going to buy postal?
Yeah, why not? I would drive one. You get to drive on the other side of the car.
I don't think... No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Damn.
Well, that's like when people buy the old police cars.
Oh, yeah. Why would you do that?
It's probably cheap as hell.
Yeah, but those things have been just like worked.
Yeah, they have driven like 500,000 miles.
Fucking ground, yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen one and been like, wow, that looks like it's in
it's
good,
good
shape.
Good shape, yeah.
I'm sure they bought it for like $200.
There's probably no piss and shit and like bodily fluids that have been soaked into the back seat. Eh.
But it is scary when one comes up behind you at night and you're like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like,
what did I do?
Oh.
I have a cracked tail light, so I need to be careful. I should get that
You
fixed.
Cracked it yourself.
No, that's my reverse light.
Okay.
I do also have a cracked just tail light. Anyway, let's get right down to it, huh? We got a lot of stuff to cover. We had Amazon this week finally did their 20-for-1 split, the first split that they did since 1999. So now you can buy a share of Amazon for, last I checked, about $120 a share. That doesn't change anything about the company, doesn't change anything about how much they're worth. It just means that for every one share you owned last week, you now have 20.
But as we talked about, it can often be very good for the stock.
Yes, it can be, because now it's cheaper. So now you can buy it instead of needing, instead of being able to buy one share for $2,300.
I wanted to buy some, and
yeah?
I missed it. I could still do it.
You didn't miss it.
I know, but I wanted to do it right when it happened.
Oh, you wanted to get 20 shares?
I wanted to be one of the, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's gone down since it split. Yeah, it has.
All right, so now I'm getting it at a discount.
Yeah, now you're getting it at 120 versus 124 or whatever.
Hell yeah.
Keep in mind, Google is about to split. Theirs was approved. It's going to be, or rather announced. I held back. I didn't burp.
I know. You're getting good.
I'm getting good. So for the couple people out there, I appreciate your feedback. I do take it seriously.
Ben heard that it's like having their ears burped into.
Yeah, and I can understand that. If you have any other feedback, please share it. I'm always looking to improve my game.
That's a Ben thing. I'm okay.
You're okay? Yeah, so Emil's fine. Just let me know how I can be of better service and better entertaining for you. Google is going to split. I think it's a 10-for-1. I'm not sure. Maybe 8-for-1. Shopify just approved their split, which is kind of funny because it's the stock has dropped from like 1,700 at their peak down to, I think, like 380 is what they're trading at last I checked. But their split is going to go into effect, I believe, at the end of June. I think that is a 10-for-1. So that's going to go from $380 to $38 a share. And then Dexcom, I think, is the only other stock I'm familiar with that is doing, well, like a major one that's doing a split, because there's a handful that are doing like a 2-for-1 and whatnot, but they're, who the fuck cares?
Tesla's
talking about, yeah, maybe putting it on their ballot. Yeah, nothing official. I really like how you look right now, dude. You look, you're
that's
I never
nice...
say this, but you look aesthetically pleasing. You got the legs kicked up, you're angular as, you look like a solid 2/3 of a triangle right now.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome, dude. So Dexcom is gonna be splitting. I have some shares in that, and I fucked up because, like I said a couple weeks ago, that that rumor that they were going to acquire Insulet made the stock drop. So fuckers. But yeah. So you're excited about this Apple.
We had the new iOS.
Yeah, we had the WWDC, which is the developer conference.
The biggest thing I'm excited about is marking messages as unread.
Marking messages as unread?
You know how when you get an email, you can read it and then mark it as unread so it stays in your inbox?
Oh, so you can have the reminder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think on Android, you've been able to do it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can mark it as you can read it and then mark it as unread.
Interesting.
Which That's is cool. great.
That's very cool, yeah.
Because when I'm busy, I always read it.
Same.
And then I forget to answer.
And then you feel... So, well, actually, now Apple's making it, so you can't make that excuse. Well, I guess if you're...
No, I mean...
You have to actively do it. You have to actively mark it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think they're doing... you're going to be able to edit for up to 15 minutes, which I don't like. I'm not excited about that. If you sent it... It's fine with typos and stuff, but... You shouldn't
it's
be
a
able
text to... message. Just follow up with a.
I know. Just be like, "Hey, I fucked up."
Yeah. I meant to say this.
Right. But sometimes you're having intense conversations on text message.
Yeah, and I wonder what that kind of thing would do in a court of law, where you know nowadays I would think that text messages can very much be used as evidence.
But it's only 15 minutes, so you can't go back and.
Sure, but like, what if? Yeah.
What situation where...
I don't know. If someone like screenshots it and uses that as evidence, they plan ahead of like, I'm going to commit this crime and not implicate myself. And then I'm going to screenshot it so that it's there, but then I'm going to edit it thereafter so that...
It's a very specific situation.
It's not like I'm planning anything. Right. I'm not planning like a bank robbery.
I also think you're going to be able to schedule texts, which I love.
Ooh, that's pretty handy. So they're basically making iMessage kind of a little bit more like email.
Yeah, but this was all stuff you could do on Android.
Wow. Yeah, but who wants to own one of those?
That's the thing. It had these features that I like, but I'm like, what am I? I'm going to be some green text?
Isn't it fucked up that that's probably a... I wonder how much you can attribute iPhone sales to the fact that people just don't want to be green texted.
A ton. I know people who have switched because they were like, I was being left out of group chats.
Yeah.
It's... Group chats have become, people don't think about it, but it's like its own social media platform. And I feel like I've become closer with people because of group chats.
Interesting.
Like someone will start a group chat after a, please don't forget that a green bubble is a person.
Dear iPhone, you're from Android Authority. All right, shut up.
But but I've become closer with people, like after a trip, there's a group chat, or there's always a group chat when you go on a trip.
Sure.
And then you guys like send each other things of like, remember, blah, blah.
I hope that, so on that note, I hope that there's the capability to ignore notifications. So like I've been in group chats where I'm like, I don't want to be part of this conversation and I mute it, but I still get the...
You can leave.
Yeah, I know. But then that just looks passive aggressive. Like, all right, you guys, shut the fuck up. I'm out.
Well...
I wish it was just like, leave this so that I just don't even get the badge notification.
Right.
You know? But I wonder, isn't there some kind of thing where they're going to make it universal? They have to now incorporate Android users into iMessage or something like that?
I think they are doing something, but I don't know exactly how it's going to work.
Because that would be a game. I would probably start looking at Androids because I know that they have superior cameras, right?
I don't know.
Like I got, okay. So I got these new bed sheets, right?
Okay.
They're linen.
Sure.
They're great. They're right. This beautiful hue of blue that's kind of similar to these chairs. And I tried taking a picture of it. And the picture, and this is like a fucking 12. I don't know what this is. It's one of the latest ones.
Okay.
This iPhone right here. I took the picture, and on the screen, it looks like dog shit. I'm like, this doesn't look how it looks. What the fuck? Like, that shouldn't be a brand new device. God damn it.
You want it to look exactly like...
Well, yeah, as it should. It should just look like the thing that you're taking a picture of. And I had to Google around, and I still couldn't find any definitive answers. Like, well, you got to go in and tweak the settings. Like, I did that, and it doesn't change.
Well, I think that is the problem. Right? It's different than a camera. It's using software. You ever take a picture, and then it kind of, like, stutters for a second, and then it comes in?
Yes.
It's weird to... Filling in the
Joe
line.
Biden style. It's got a stutter.
Sure. Yeah.
So I like how in the note it was Emil Leica to iOS 16.
You wrote that.
Yeah, I know. I forgot.
And you're going to be able to customize a lot of stuff.
Customize what? Backgrounds?
Yep.
Wow.
No. It's going to be cool.
I mean, yeah, you can download.
Your home screen is not going to be as rigid. You don't really have any options right now.
Yeah.
You're going to get all these options for.
There are third-party apps that let you. So, like, there's one where you can make it all a lot more neutral, a more neutral color palette so that it's less addictive to look at,
ooh,
which I think is interesting.
You ever turn your whole phone black and white?
Fuck no. What am I? I Love Lucy?
That helps a lot.
Yeah, I've heard.
You go on.
I should.
You go on Instagram, you're like, what the fuck am I looking at?
Yeah, that's actually.
It helps a lot.
Yeah. Did you hear that I just saw this, that the European Union ruled that by 2024, Apple has to change their charging ports so it's universal. So I think only in Europe it's going to be USB-C or whatever.
It's like the same thing they did to Tesla.
Oh, they made those charging ports?
Yeah, they have to be able to.
Yeah, new EU rules on USB-C charging could force an iPhone redesign.
Which is good for Android users, because I can't imagine everywhere you go, there's always someone with an iPhone charger.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's
if I had an Android, I'd be like, I gotta carry this fucking thing around.
Don't let anybody see that Android in your pocket.
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. Samsung, it's interesting, because they just seem to churn out a new phone every couple months. Galaxy 50S 29.
iPhone's doing one every year.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I'm so tired of this shit.
Tired of what?
Because this should last me. This should last for 5 years.
It does. I wait like 5 years to get a new
phone. Yeah, but by the time it's not the same as when it's brand spanking new. It slows down. It's that planned obsolescence.
Oh, yeah.
And it pisses me off. As a consumer, I should be protected. But you know who's got a bunch of shares in Apple?
Nancy Pelosi.
No, I'm thinking Al Gore. Al Gore has, you know how much money he's got in Apple stock? Like hundreds of millions
of
dollars.
As the creator of the internet?
Yeah, well, they got to give him something. That's true. They just like awarded him, I think a few. Gore owns over 68 million dollars he owns. And over the last 15 years, he sold Apple stock worth over 58.9 million.
Oh, he works as an independent director at Apple?
Yeah, he makes 360K a year. But like, why was, I remember, yeah, like 10 years ago, they awarded him stock options at the time priced at like $2 a share or something. And it's like, why does Al Gore get so much money from Apple? What the fuck is he doing for them?
You think there's something nefarious going on?
I don't know. It just seems weird. We've got some headlines. For those of you with student loans like you.
Hey, come on, man.
You got some good news maybe coming your way.
I don't think it's going to be good news. Well, so here's what's the headline you're talking about, that they're going to, by late summer, they're going to make a decision?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be good news. I think they'll probably, if they do anything, they'll probably settle on the 10K,
mm-hmm.
which I think it's the most, you know, Democratic Party thing to do ever, because it's not, it'll probably cancel some people's full loans out. There'll be some people who have 10K or under. And then anyone with a real substantial amount, it won't do anything, because most of those people are on some kind of income-based repayment plan, and the interest will just accrue and wipe out that $10,000 anyway. And anyone on one of those plans is not going to pay back the full amount of their loan anyway, because they basically, what happens when you get on one of those plans, they say after, you know, it's either like whatever period it is, 120 months, 240 months, your loan's forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would hope that
it's not going to make a difference. And then what they'll say, they'll run on it. They'll say, we were the ones who canceled student debt. And everyone's going to go, what the fuck? No, you didn't. And then Republicans are going to say, they canceled student debt. They're giving handouts to everybody.
Yeah.
So it's just like the most absolute loser shit.
I wish that they would, and maybe they are already considering this, but it would be nice if the government acted as a low-cost lender and consolidated all of this debt. So like if people are paying 15, 20% or whatever exorbitant interest rates they're paying.
It's not that high, but
it's still high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's high to the point where people are just staying above water mm-hmm. by just paying off their
and whatever. Paying mostly interest.
Yeah. So, like, I would maybe one tactic is the government buys out all of that debt.
They already did.
And then you owe the government instead?
Yeah, all under Obama, they bought all the outstanding
debt. I didn't know that. So now
that's why when people talk about how easy it is.
Yeah.
It's already done. The government owns the debt.
So they just stopped
collecting.
Yeah. And they've forgiven debt of countries before.
And which they have already stopped collecting.
Yeah.
When the pandemic hit, they stopped collecting.
I see.
And so when everyone's going, well, if you cancel this debt now, it's going to fuck up
what about
inflation even more.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, bud, no one's been paying for 2 years.
Yeah. What about, okay, so here's my other idea. I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
I literally said it on this show, folks. So,
well, not that. I didn't know that they had already bought it up. Or maybe while you were doing that, I was just like...
You were just like, I wonder what Tom Likas is up to.
Tom Likas.
No, but yeah, so... because they were able to do all these new plans, like income-based... that kind of stuff didn't exist. So now the federal government owns it all.
Right. So now what about the... are they considering the following? For the people out there...
I don't work for the Biden administration.
No, I know, but you're much more well-versed in this than I am. For the people out there, because I've heard anecdotally so many stories of people who say they owe $30,000 in student loans. That's what they originally took out, $30,000 in student loans. And over the past 10 years, they've already paid $20,000 in repayments. But due to the high interest rates, their balance still sits at $30,000. Is there a plan? Is part of it going to be like, okay, come on. They've already paid off due to the high interest, the predatory high interest rates, they're going to like adjust? Are they going to adjust any kind of balances
for
that?
So here's the best part. I don't even think they have, I don't think they'd even be able to do it because...
Private companies?
No. People have tried to get the numbers on how much interest has been paid.
Yeah.
And compare it to the principal, and they haven't even kept track of that. So they don't even know how much has been contributed to interest and how much to principal.
The fuck?
It's a fucking disaster.
Cool. It does remind me of, I saw a great, you know, the famous picture of the trolley problem, the cartoon with the guy like scratching his head. He's got his hand on the lever.
Familiar with the trolley.
But yeah, well, but there's one edit that someone did to the trolley problem that as it relates to student loans and the people who are against it, the trolley is just on one track. And it's just littered with bodies in front of it and behind it. So it has already run over just a ton of bloody dead bodies. And the guy about to pull the lever goes, but what about all the people the trolley has already run over?
Oh, that's...
Yeah, would it be fair to the people the trolley has already killed to divert it now?
Wait, that's a... Like,
it's so great.
But people are truly doing that.
Yeah.
Would it be fair?
Well, no.
There's just a Wall Street Journal... opinion article.
Yeah.
Literally titled, it's like, I might have put it.
Would be fair. Well, guess what, honey?
Oh, yeah, this one.
Guess what, sweetie? Life isn't fair.
Student loan forgiveness makes my grandson a chump.
What? He's 18 and working two jobs to help pay for college. He could have taken out loans at taxpayer expense.
He's saying it would be unfair to my grandson who instead chose to work through and he talks about how his I think daughter and her husband have saved up a bunch to help her grandson.
I mean, you could apply that to like so many different things.
Oh, you
like,
could do it with anything. Imagine
what?
We created a cure for cancer and people were like, "But would it be fair to all the people who died?"
I mean, it's a little sure. Speaking of, here we go. We got an answer for the Al Gore thing. Thank you, Luke. The options that Gore used were obtained from his service as an Apple director. He has served on the company's board since 2003, 4 years before the first iPhone launched. Gore's options were exercisable as of February 2010 and were set to expire this February 25th. I see. So he was, man, I bet he's stoked that he didn't win the presidency. because then he was able to become a director for Apple in 2003.
Do you think he threw it on purpose?
Oh, hell no. He wanted to be president so bad.
No way. He just like didn't fight at all. He was just like...
Maybe he was advised not to. Or maybe he... Yeah.
By
maybe.
Apple? They were like, hey, we got a sweet deal for
we
you.
We got a job for you, Babu. Did you hear about the taser drone?
No.
Dude. Okay. So you know Axon. Axon is
Axon,
the...
Axoff?
Axon is the company that makes tasers. It used to be called Taser. In the
like, does Taser stand for something?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. You know what? Did you know Laser stands for something? It's an acronym?
No, I didn't. Or maybe I did. Light.
Nice.
Light and... I got nothing, man.
Yeah. I don't know what it stands for. It stands for something.
Okay, laser, light amplification. Hey, we got laser here. Light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. That's pretty tight.
Yeah. All right, sorry, go ahead.
So anyway, Taser used to be the company, and their ticker symbol was TASR, which is cute. And I think they got bought out or changed the name to Axon. Who cares? But either way, they were working on a Taser drone.
Oh, of course.
That's the image of the Taser drone. So they were working on this Taser drone specifically to combat mass shootings so that you could deploy a Taser drone that could neutralize a subject from 40 feet away. This is the most American thing possible.
How is this going to help?
Because they're going to deploy a fucking taser drone. I don't know.
Like, but for example.
What if you're inside?
Right, with the Uvalde
yeah, exactly.
shooting.
But so it's wild. They had an ethics within the company. They had an ethics board. 8 of the 12 members of the ethics board resigned because of this project. They were just like, you know what? This is so fucked. We're done.
That's surprising.
Which is cool, too. Like, kudos to those people. I would love to get one of them on to talk about it. But yeah, they said Sunday. It's,
if you worked for Taser,
yeah.
Come
if you
on
worked for
show.
Axon, yeah.
It's so crazy. That's like the only thing we know how to do is just if there's a problem, it's just like
find the dumbest way to solve.
No,
it.
No, just like more like
weapons.
Yeah, militarize everything.
Yeah.
We don't need to take guns away. We need fucking drones.
What if it was hammers? Like, what if you know, there was a problem with children getting hammers and like beating the shit out of each other with hammers? Well, we need bigger hammers.
Yeah, but you know, right, but bigger hammers. When that kind of stuff happens, they act really quickly.
Yeah.
It's like, remember like 2 kids died because of lawn darts and they were just like, "All right, no one gets to play lawn darts anymore."
I didn't know that. How fucking old are you? Lawn darts?
You
hey, everybody, this guy's like 90 years old. Lawn darts? Fucking, were they huge? How big were they?
Look up a lawn dart.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Those kids. Do you remember Stomp Rockets? Did you ever play
shit,
with a...
those kids look so old. Did you find one from... The kid is literally wearing like bell-bottom fucking...
You ever try on like an old polyester shirt at Goodwill and you just, it's so uncomfortable and it doesn't breathe and you just think, this is how people fucking existed back then? Just hot and uncomfortable all the time?
They had cotton.
You're right, they did. Did you ever play with a Stomp Rocket though?
Of course.
Oh, man, that shit was fun.
But
wow.
No one died.
What a simple, effective... quality toy. You jump on a big air bladder and it launches the rocket. Rocket go way high.
Javelin darts. Okay, I did not know they were from the 70s. And but the point stands.
Point does stand. An exciting outdoor game of skill for the whole family. Yeah, that's right. Even mom can play. Oh, boy. So we got a big... So by the time that this airs tomorrow, which will be today for you...
Ben.
But yesterday for us in the future. the inflation data for May is going to be today. Tomorrow for us.
Stop.
And the peak inflation...
You held yourself... whatever. I'm
what,
not gonna,
what,
no,
what?
No, no, go, 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 go.
The peak inflation narrative is what is in... a very tenuous place. So I'm going to be reading a couple points here because there's so much here. But so the hard thing is that while unemployment is low for now, a lot of the jobs that were created to satisfy the demand surge that we had in 2020 and 2021, a lot of that employment might get walked back. Because, for example, and I did not know this. This is fascinating. Amazon had 950,000 people working for the company in June 2021. And as of March of this year, it has 1.6 million employees. That is such a fucking staggering increase. And with the headlines that we shared just a couple weeks ago about their warehouse space, they, you know, overstepped and like overbuilt, and now they've got to try to sublet or like just cancel some plans. It begs the it follows that they're probably going to have to lay some people off, you know? And then you had Target this week also warned they had to like revise that they're probably going to lower guidance for profits on Tuesday, they said. Microsoft said that they're slowing hiring. But I also read that Microsoft's slowing hiring had to do with something specifically. I can't remember.
Did you see?
Yeah, who cares?
Did you see Bird?
Bird, the scooter company?
They're laying off 23% of their workforce.
Damn. Huh. That's tragic. You hate to hear that. It's wild that that is a stock now, and it trades at like 60 cents or something.
Well, it was a SPAC.
Oh, that's right. Special Purpose Acquisition Company. It just about every SPAC has just been pure dog shit, dude.
I think I put the chart in there somewhere. It absolutely fucking tanked.
Oh, yeah. It's down like 92% from its inception or whatever.
It was valued so high.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks. What a market we had. So anyway, we now have the market in this weird position where it would actually kind of be good to have news about like negative non-farm payroll jobs, like jobs prints. If you have like a negative kind of headline around that and consecutive lower inflation to show, it would show that the market itself is kind of like correcting and you wouldn't exclusively need to be relying on the Fed to raise rates to bring everything down, because it would show that like, all right, everything is kind of like starting to slow down. It's really fucking weird. But the we mentioned him before, Morgan Stanley, this guy Mike Wilson. He had this great summation of what's going on right now, and it's pertinent to what could happen for the next couple months, his prediction. This isn't a direct quote from him yet, but the overarching question is whether the 20% drawdown on the S&P was enough to account for the risk to earnings from margin headwinds from, you know, supply chain and inflation affecting margins and a decelerating economy. So if the answer is yes, if that drawdown that we just had is enough to account for that, then you could argue that stocks have priced it in. They've priced in the inflation shock, right? So that means that, hey, the bottom's kind of in temporarily. So it would seem if that was the case. The rate shock and the recession shock all being priced in too, leaving equities, stocks, free to look even further into the future to price better growth outcomes down the road. So like that basically means, all right, maybe it's the case that the market, since we've already had this big 20% drawdown, has that been sufficient enough to price all of these potential headwinds in? So he says, in the absence of further revisions in the near term, meaning companies like stepping up and saying, hey, we actually got to revise like Target just did.
Is that your company voice?
Guys, we got to revise that. I'm the CFO of Target. Can everybody be quiet, please? I'm on the line now. Okay, thank you so much for joining this call. So he says, in the absence of further revisions like that in the near term, the view that I just mentioned can hold up. But if earnings revisions don't reaccelerate, they think that the price remains wrong. This is why we still think it will be difficult for the market to make much upward progress this summer/fall from current levels. And he goes on to say, corporations aren't exactly keen on delivering bad news to shareholders, and the market is even less keen on cutting forecasts. So it could be a while before all of this manifests in across-the-board revisions. That's one reason why Mike Wilson is open-minded when it comes to the notion that stocks might prove a semblance of resilience in the very near term. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Companies don't, it's nobody likes to step up and be like, hey, things are probably not going to be very good this next quarter. Because, you know, why would they? Do they? They have a duty to, but most of the time they're going to wait until earnings to reveal it then. So between now and then, the next earnings season, yeah, stocks might start to look enticing, but it might not all be priced in yet. So just a word of caution.
Really good, Ben. Holy shit. Dude.
I let out a big one, and I didn't do it into the microphone.
You got to go back to the GI doctor.
Okay, so...
Did you ask him about the burps?
Yeah.
And what'd he say? You're just a gassy
he said
boy?
Nothing. So I'll probably have to go back to another one and just... and.
He said nothing?
Well, I just said I'm gassy, but I think it's because I inhale a lot of air when I eat and drink.
What'd he
and
say?
He just was like, whatever, show me your butt. I got to stick my finger in there. You're the last one of the day. Let's
Shut
get
up,
this
man.
Over with. Shut up, dipshit. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But wait, so hang on. So he goes. So this goes on to say that once earnings season rolls around in the next couple months, stocks could roll over with those revisions that they might not necessarily be disclosing right now. Mike Wilson goes on to say, and I quote, "In the absence of a recession or a shock like the COVID lockdowns, negative earnings revisions typically take longer than they should, and this time is likely to be no different. The bear market rally that began a few weeks ago can continue for a few more weeks until the Fed makes it crystal clear they remain hawkish and earnings revisions fall well into negative territory." So he's saying, again, that companies aren't necessarily going to be as forthcoming about revisions to the downside to their earnings estimates. So it might be, for the active investor, it might be smarter to wait and see and go from there. And then he says, yeah, at that point, the 1-2 punch of the Fed and a less sanguine profit outlook for corporate America should ultimately take the S&P 500 toward 3,400.
You know what sanguine
by
means?
Mid to late August. Yeah, like rosy.
Yeah, color, yeah. Optimistic know. In the face of...
Optimistic. Oh, my God. I blacked out for a second there. That was a mouthful.
Seriously.
Oops, I just licked the mic. I'm going to lick it again.
What are you doing?
I'm just licking. I'm over here licking. I'd be on dog mode.
You do be on dog mode. This is one of the weirdest experiences I've ever had, though, with the...
stock market?
It's one of the first times I've... I'm trying to think back. Maybe it was just because I was younger, but I don't think I've ever quite just sat here and waited for something that everyone kind of has accepted is coming, and we're all just watching in slow motion as it happens.
You mean like a recession?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's weird, like Cardi B.
Yeah.
Did you see her tweet? Are we in a recession yet, or like have they announced that we're
in
a recession?
Are they going to tell us?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. Yeah, I agree with you. It's because nowadays it feels like every significant news event it's like there's just one big it's like one of those things that you put against your face and you click the spin wheel.
I'm old.
You can only look at one at a time. And it's like that's how we are as a society. We can only view like one event at a time. And it's just whatever is at the forefront of the topic of conversation today on Twitter. And Johnny Depp. Or,
what do you mean? That's just how things happen. There's only one.
Yeah, but it just feels
bigger. I'm joking.
Oh, okay. It feels bigger.
We've done this joke.
Oh, yeah?
COVID was ended by Ukraine.
Oh, right.
Ukraine is no longer a thing because of the recession.
I don't know that we're... Well, because you got to remember that...
And we thought Johnny Depp and Amber Heard could end the recession, but it turns out they weren't that powerful.
The thing about a recession is it's just two consecutive quarters of negative growth. And it is possible to have that without also having...
High unemployment.
Yes. You also had, this week, there was a kind of a big lift in China stocks because Beijing is relaxing their COVID restrictions. And then they also, there was this probe against Didi, which is like their Uber over there, I think, a ride-sharing app. They ended the probe and they lifted the ban on new users. And then I think Didi is also going to be relisted on the Hong Kong exchange. So just be mindful of that if you are considering buying shares in that, because I don't think it's going to be U.S. listed for much longer.
You want to talk about the Feinstein thing?
Feinstein? Do you want to talk about the drug thing first? I found this really interesting and sad. Just this quote.
Sure. Here. But I mean, I kind of, they were talking about how horrible it was throughout the pandemic, the skyrocketing
drug
and alcohol use and overdoses and everything.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big surprise, but.
It just was interesting because this researcher, it was from researchers of the UPenn Department of Economics and the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta Research Department. They estimated that the number of additional substance abusers during the pandemic presented in this report suggests that increased substance abuse accounts for between 9 and 26% of the decline in prime age labor force participation between February 2020 and June 2021. So more people were abusing drugs, and that kind of accounts for a good chunk of the what they estimate. Accounts for a good chunk of the decline in labor force participation. Not so good. Yeah, let's do Feinstein.
All right, The Cut, which was a part of New York Magazine, does this long profile of Dianne Feinstein, and it's called The Institutionalist. Dianne, and here she is.
She looks like...
Look, we're not going to make fun of her for being old.
No.
Honestly, I found the most interesting thing I found was that she goes through her whole career, and it's really kind of an indictment of the people who have fought for incrementalism and been like, if you just keep voting blue, we'll just keep inching away. And there are some of these, so she said, Feinstein is now both the definition of the American political establishment and the personification of the inroads women have made over the past 50 years. Her career launched in a moment of optimism about what women leaders could do for this country, offers a study in what the Democratic Party has not been able to do. As Feinstein consolidated her power at the top of the Senate, the party's losses steadily mounted. It has lost control of the Supreme Court. It is likely about to lose control of Congress. Children are being gunned down by the assault weapons Feinstein has fought to ban, while the Senate, a legislative body she reveals, years can only stand by idly, ultimately complicit. States around the nation are banning books about racism as black people are being shot and killed in supermarkets. Having gutted the Voting Rights Act, conservatives are leveraging every form of voter suppression they can, while the Senate cannot pass a bill to protect the franchise. The expected overturning of Roe v. Wade this summer will mark a profound step backward, a signal that other rights won during Feinstein's adulthood, including marriage equality and full access to contraception, are just as vulnerable.
Not so fine for that Stein, if you ask me. Dianne Badstein. She's too old. You wouldn't trust this woman to drive a car.
But even regardless of that, I think it's much more an indictment of these people, the Democratic establishment and what they've been able to accomplish, which is kind of nothing. She's been, I think 6 terms as a senator.
Ba-boo. How long is a Senate term? 6 years?
Yep.
Did she enrich herself? Is she? I'm assuming she's at least her net worth is probably above $10 million.
Probably. I don't know her net worth, but I'm sure she's done well for herself. She's like retiring onto a Lake Tahoe estate.
Yeah. How old is she? 86?
89.
89.
and it's
still serving.
Oh, she's going to turn 89 this month.
Excuse us.
Oh, I wonder if we'll get invited. June 22nd. I'm free, Dianne.
She's 5'10". Damn, she'd be tall. Well, not anymore. She's probably shrunk.
All right. That's enough.
Oh, God.
Stop.
Who's that?
Stop.
Glenn?
Just quit. Jesus Christ. Just stop.
Folks. But Glenn, hey.
Glenn.
Stop what?
You guys are going to have to do this whole episode over.
Why?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Are we not in compliance? Did I fuck up?
No, it's just awful.
Oh, really?
It's just a bad episode.
Oh, man, it's so boring.
Oh, man. Here I thought we were having a good old time.
Man, this is the worst.
This is the worst one, you think?
By far.
Oh, wow. Shit. Well, that's...
So, Glenn, you've been watching the whole time.
I have.
Just absolutely bored to tears.
I had to nod myself awake a couple times.
Man.
I was dozing off.
So,
shit.
This is going to be very exciting for a lot of our viewers. We have I don't know if you know this, but they call themselves the Glenheads.
Yeah,
yes. They're quite the fans.
Even though they have no idea what you look like, what you sound like, as far as it is, it's just a hi, Glenn, But baby, they love it. They're part of the lore. And now look at you. They got you in all your glory.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Do you have anything right off the bat you would like to say to the Glenheads?
No, but just I appreciate their support and letting them know that compliance is important.
Yes, it is.
And keeping you guys in line is important too.
Yes.
Right.
Compliance, much like consent, is important.
Right.
Should we ask
the question one of our, so we did a mailbag episode that's going to come out next week, and a couple of the questions were regarding Glenn.
Oh,
and,
no shit.
And I figured we almost talked about it, but then I said we might as well save it. We're going to have the man himself on. And so people were wondering.
Do you have the question ready?
Wait, before you ask me this question, Emil, you're not going to flip me off again.
No, I would never.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever did that.
Yes,
did I?
You did.
Yeah, you flipped me off in a previous episode.
No way.
I said like, what? By the way, Glenn, we got to say hi to Glenn and give the disclaimer, and I think you would like that.
Maybe I was flipping off the idea of compliance in general.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of an anti-authoritarian, if you know what I mean.
Well, compliance isn't anti-authoritarian, is it, Glenn?
Well, it depends on what you're doing.
Yeah.
I like when we're freewheeling, no rules, and that's my own problem. I'm the bad boy of the show, Glenn.
He is the bad boy. But compliance is necessary, right? Like, can you, before we ask the questions, tell us why compliance, in my case, why it's important.
Well, as people have probably gathered from the show, Ben does trade, and he is a registered representative with a registered broker-dealer, which is who I work for, T3 Trading Group. Ben has to follow certain rules as a registered rep in order for him to do stuff like this for the show. And that's why I get the privilege of watching the show every week and signing off on what you guys say before it hits the airwaves, so to speak.
That's right.
For example, technically, Ben is not allowed to give specific investment advice.
Mm-hmm.
He can't tell you to go out and buy a certain stock at a certain price, but he can comment on how he feels about certain things. And sometimes there's a fine line there, and that's what I'm here to make sure that Ben, who goes over lots of lines, doesn't go over this one.
Right. So Ben was wondering, as from a compliance standpoint, we're allowed to talk about sending mail to the White House.
Sure.
But it's more but that's a whole different
fan mail.
Remember, the compliance standpoint really has to do with securities and stocks and
it's
financial talk.
It's to protect the firm as well as me as an individual from
liability.
Any kind of liability, right?
That is 100% correct.
So I don't get people going, well, you told me to buy Dogecoin at the top,
dipshit. This moron told me to buy into Bird when they SPAC'd.
Yeah, when they SPAC'd.
You know, what will eventually happen, Ben, is if you do that sort of thing, is people will just do the opposite and either make money or lose money.
There you go, actually. Yeah.
Right. It's like the Jim Cramer inverse
ETF.
Yeah.
Or the exactly. Kathy Wood inverse ETF.
Yeah.
Yeah. The inverse Ben
ETF. But as far as you guys can ask me anything, I'll do my best to answer.
Let's say I have $10,000 in savings and I want to turn it into $1 million, Glenn. What stock should I buy today to make that? Well, that's what I get a lot.
I'll tell you, sometimes I speak to high school kids who are in these clubs and all tell them about the markets and what I do. And I'll give you the best investment advice I could give to anybody. And you could say this on the air anytime you want.
Okay.
It's not about the specific stocks, Ben. If you follow this advice, you'll make money every time.
Interesting.
All you have to do is buy low and sell high.
There you go. It's as simple as that, folks.
I see.
Do that every time, you got no problem.
Or you can do the opposite and sell high and buy low if you're
the BenCon special.
Yeah, shorting inclined. Wait. So before, we are close to wrapping up this episode, but we wanted to tell everybody that if you want to get a little bit more of the Glenn experience, you can, if you don't already subscribe to tmgstudios.tv, we're going to have a little bit more of him on the after hours. Should we save the questions for then? I just heard a yes from behind the curtain.
Okay, do you do everything you're told to do, Ben?
Yeah, I do everything I'm told to do.
All right, fine. We'll save the question.
By the way, so Glenn, in the history, I'd like a little report card, please. In the history of the show, I haven't had to revise just about anything, have I?
I only can think of one small incident way back in the beginning when we were first kind of feeling each other out. But
yeah.
Other than that, no, you guys have been very compliant.
And the very and the fun.
Even though Emil flipped me off.
Yeah.
I don't,
naughty
I
was, boy.
I think that's why you didn't have me in studio. It might have gotten ugly.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, Glenn. No.
Your pheromones wouldn't match. You'd be like a couple dogs just But my fondest memory of the delicate dance with compliance was the fact that for the first 9 episodes or so, I wasn't permitted to swear.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, I loved when they took the governor off and you just got to go full Ben.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it, Glenn?
Yeah, well, again, that all comes down to the fact that you're not really advertising anything that would have to do with financial industry.
Exactly.
In that case, you would be subject to kind of a more wholesome image.
Yeah. And baby, this ain't wholesome. I've been naked on this show. I've shown... that's
your
about
feet.
It. Yeah, I've shown. Well, yeah, the feet. Oh. Well, that was on.
Wait,
8-Ball.
Did you have to watch the 8-Ball special to make sure it was compliant?
I did.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was the one that I was the most like, Glenn, I hope you don't lose respect for me. And he's like, "There's no more respect I could possibly lose. It's all gone."
Wait, so do you have similar people like Ben who you are?
We have similar people, but and I don't want to say this is a negative thing, but it's a different type of thing. It's much more financial and trading focused,
right?
Rather than, you know, the finance with some of your guys' humor and things like that, who work at another entity of T3 called T3 Live,
right?
So yes, I do review all their content, their advertising, and their videos and things like that as well. Yes.
So you're not seeing quite the feet stuff and the.
No, that's a little bit more.
That's
wholesome. I'll use the word wholesome.
That's unique
but,
to
but
Ben.
If I'd be allowed to say without sounding like a suck up, I really do enjoy the podcast very much.
Wow! Thank you, Glenn.
Glenn's such a sweet man. He sent me soup when I had food poisoning a couple.
Wow.
Weeks. Yeah, all the way from you're in New York. Yes.
Well, I actually just DoorDashed it from Cantor's Deli in LA.
Yeah, it was very
sweet.
Oh,
it's from Cantor's.
Yeah, Cantor's.
Glenn, are you also a Jewish man?
I am a Jewish man.
Nice.
And he's also a lover of sports, as you can see from the background here.
Yes, I am a season ticket holder to the New York Giants, and I was a 25-year season ticket holder to the New York Rangers.
Very cool.
Wait, are you going to... I'm not a big sports guy, but are the Rangers going to the Stanley Cup?
Rangers play game 5 of the semifinals tonight at the Garden.
Ooh, are you going?
Unfortunately, no.
Why not?
One of the reasons why I don't have my Ranger tickets anymore is they kind of priced me out.
Oh, that sucks.
I'll give you an example. My game 7 1994 Stanley Cup victory ticket, which I was in the building for, was $32.
Damn.
Right.
Thanks a lot. Joe Biden.
We're going to get the Glenheads to, they're going to write a lot of angry letters to the New York Rangers, and we're going to get you some season tickets.
Ben, you've met my son. My son has gone to several games.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, we did. Sort of on the phone. Yeah, we met.
Yeah.
It's
he's a very big hockey fan.
Yeah. So I'm being told we got to wrap up here. So, Glenn, if you'll stick around, we'll end
happy
this
to.
Call, but then... We'll pick it up in the after
and we've
hours
got
with
some
questions.
We've got some real questions for you in after hours. So
great, I'd love to do it.
So we'll see
Looking
all
forward
of
to it.
We'll see all of our subscribers there.
All right, folks, that about does it for this week's episode. Be sure to tune in next week for the mailbag, wherein we answer your questions. It gets pretty emotional, gotta say. We could get some heavy stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but in a good way. Anyway, so long everyone.
This week on After Hours.
Was that you, Glenn?
Bingo.
Bingo truly was his name-o.
It's like he's got an invisible bagel in his hand.
Is it hot in here or is it ABBA?
Woo! Don't say jacking off.
What
say
did I say?
Cranking your hog.
Sign up on tmgstudios.tv to watch the full bonus episode.